I am so glad to be back at Elevate City Church. This is my second home. I told you last time I was here, I walk into the hotel now and they know me by name. They don't even ask for my driver's license. You know, yeah, you're at a good place when that happens, right? Hey, that's going to be a great series next week. You don't want to miss that at all because it's going to be really good and very helpful on how to hear the voice of God in the midst of a crazy time. You know, a lot of voices out there. So I'm going to talk to you today about something we all have on our phones that we like to do. But before I do, let me just tell you a quick little story. There was a pastor doing a baptism down by the river. And you don't see that often, right? I've done a few of those in my ministry lifetime. That's cold water. So it just so happened to be a drunk guy was near the area and heard all the stuff going on, and he just moseyed on down to where the baptisms was, and he gets in the water. And the pastor looks at him and said, "Do you want to find Jesus?" And the drunk guy said, "Well, yeah, sure, I will." And so the pastor baptized him, takes him down, brings him back up, and says, "Sir, have you found Jesus?" And he's like, "No." Pastor got mad and said, "Okay, let's do this again." Baptized him again, took him down, brought him back up. "Sir, did you find Jesus?" He said, "No, I haven't." So the pastor was like, "Okay, I'm going to keep him down just a little bit longer." So he immerses him and keeps him down for about 20 seconds and brings him back up and says, "Sir, have you found Jesus yet?" And he said, "No, are you sure this is where he went down?" Exodus chapter 33, verse 11, and 2 Corinthians 3:16. Verse 11 of Exodus 33 says, "The Lord would speak to Moses face to face." Everyone say, "Face to face." Everyone say, "FaceTime." Is that not amazing that we have FaceTime on our phones? Think about it. I remember watching movies back in the 70s and 80s where they could do that. Remember on Star Trek, you know, and now it's a reality. I think talking on the phone is all right. Texting is okay, but I love FaceTiming. When my kids, they'll call, I'm like, "Are you home?" "Yeah." "Well, FaceTime me. Don't you? I want to look at you." There's something about FaceTime. And here's what Moses said: "As a man speaks with his friend." There's something about FaceTiming, whether it's on the phone itself or whether it's in person. There's a coffee shop in Columbus in the Italian village, and it's one of my favorites. It's called Fox in the Snow. The guy who owns it is from Brooklyn. Their egg sandwiches are awesome, all right? And it's like really huge, you know? And there's some other things in there that are not good for you, but it's really good, right? But he has no Wi-Fi. And it's amazing. It's extraordinary. Because what he wants to happen is he wants to take us back to the time where people actually conversed and actually talked face to face with each other. So you will see people in there actually drinking a cup of coffee and talking with one another. You know, you don't see that at Starbucks. They're always on their phone or on their iPad or in their computer. And even with people sitting at the same table, guess what's going on? Everybody has their phone out. Everybody's looking at their phone. My wife has a rule, and she gets real mean about it, that when we're at the dinner table, phones are not permitted, or they will be cursed. No phones allowed. We're going to talk. We're going to look at each other. We're going to look each other in the eye, and we're going to FaceTime each other in person. So what Moses is talking about, having a face-to-face relationship with God. And I want to talk to you today about FaceTiming with God daily, every day, trying not to miss it. Look what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 3:16. I'm going to read it out of the message because the message is really good. "Whenever, though, they turn to face God, as Moses did, God removes the veil, and there they are, face-to-face. They suddenly recognize that God is a living, personal presence, not a piece of chiseled stone. And when God is personally present, a living spirit, that old restricting legislation is recognized and obsolete. We're free of it, all of us. Nothing between us and God. Look at that. Nothing between you and God. Our face is shining with the brightness of His face. And so we are transfigured much like the Messiah, and our lives are gradually becoming brighter and more beautiful as God enters our lives and we become like Him. Paul just outlines what it's like to be Christ-like, how to become holy, how to become beautiful in this life, and that is getting face to face with God. Now, it's not an easy task to do, but He says He wants us to do it. And when that happens, what we behold in God, we can become, not by our own merits, but because of His reflection in our life. Us only taking time out to have face time with God. Face time is basically time spent face to face contact with someone, or, and this is what the dictionary says, a video chat application developed by Apple. Thank you, Apple. So when we talk about FaceTime, we're actually talking about prayer. We're talking about connection and communicating with God on a daily basis. And I believe, and here's my opinion, prayer is the most difficult thing to do in the world. I don't care how long you've been a Christian. It is tough to pray. We may look at some people who say the right words and they're eloquent and they know how to pray. It's still difficult to pray because we got to be disciplined. We got to make it a habit. We got to give up all the excuses. Listen, when you come face to face with God in prayer, in that prayer you find yourself standing on the edge of a really deep, dark abyss. Because what you're finding out is what's really inside of you. Prayer will challenge you to change yourself, not just change others. And a lot of times we use prayer to change other people. You know, we're great. Christians are great at picking out everybody else's faults and ignoring their own. Hello. But I think the number one thing that can happen when we have a discipline of prayer in our life is that we ourselves get change. Can somebody say amen? Amen. So when we come face to face with ourselves, we actually come face to face with God. Excuse me one moment. I think our prayer life is probably one of the most important things in our relationship with God. It helps nourishes it, strengthens it. Matter of fact, probably the majority of your and I's spiritual growth happens in the context of prayer. We grow more deeper, we have a closer relationship with God. That's just like in human relationships. You grow closer to one another by communicating with one another, by spending time with one another. That's why small groups is so vital to the health of a church, because people get to know one another, because we're not meant just to come, sit, sing a few songs, hear a sermon, and go home. That's not the end result. That's just a part that assists us in becoming, growing spiritually, but we need that interaction, that context, and you may be here this morning and go, well, I don't like people. Well, you still need to be a part of people, because guess who's on the earth? People, you know? And I would encourage you that we often neglect prayer because we're really not sure how we should pray. What should we say? You hear Pastor Kyle, you hear some of the leaders get up and pray, man, and the words just flow out. And then you wake up tomorrow morning and you get into your prayer time and you don't have a clue what to say. Anybody been there? I've been in church my whole life, been in ministry full-time for 30 years. That happens to me. So here's what I've done. I have written out all my prayers. Now, I go off of them a little bit. Did you put that slide up, the website? No, listen, no big deal. Go to my website, robyanok.com. It's right there, okay? In the search engine, type my morning liturgy or my prayer morning prayer liturgy or something. And all my prayers that I pray are on there. And you can use it as an outline with your FaceTime with God just to get you started. And then you can, listen, because if you don't have a great memory all the time, and you get down here and your mind starts wandering, especially in the morning, you're thinking about what you got to do during the day, right? I got work, I got to go pick up this, I got laundry to do, dry cleaning to pick up, I got to take the kids to basketball, and you're going down the line. Your mind will wander after about 3 minutes when you're praying. And so I want to encourage you to follow something if you have to, because it is biblical and it is good. So we don't know how to pray. We don't know what to say. We don't know how often we should do it. But here's the problem. We are busy. We live in a culture and a time where we've got a million pursuits going on every day. And we are being stretched and we are being turned in every different location. It's the mantra of our culture, 24/7, baby, nonstop. Hey, how you doing? Oh, I'm so busy. If we're so busy, how do we get like 12 hours of Netflix in a week? Right? How do we get all our shows in? And we're just so busy, but it is what we like to talk about. Listen, we live in a very tense, uptight, fast-paced world, and it only brings stress. We're frazzled, we're overwhelmed, we're overworked, we're complexed, we're bewildered, we have heavier workloads than we've ever had in our life, we have greater demands, we have higher stress. Am I talking to somebody? We are busy, 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 and here's why I'm preaching this message to us this morning. Because if we don't break the tensions of daily living, just daily living, they will break us. And the only way to break that is to have FaceTime with God as a priority in your and my life. You may say, well, I'm trying to think about it, Rob. I don't have the time. Yes, you do. We all have 168 hours in the week. Why are others able to do it and we are not? We can make the time. We make time for things that are of value to us. We make time for things that are important to us. Listen, quit giving God the remainder of your time. Quit giving God the leftovers. Let's start making God the first in our life. And you do that by giving him the first of your day. Okay. Now, this doesn't work for my wife because she works third shift. If I preached at her and said, babe, you need to, when you get home from work, you need to give God some time. She would, like, go crazy on me because she just worked 16 hours, right? That ain't going to happen. So she puts her FaceTime with God in late afternoon after she has woken up from her shift. So I'm not saying whatever your work shift is, you can work it in. My thing is, man, I love my mornings, okay? But here it is. Don't let anything rob you of your time with God. Don't allow anything. Turn the stupid news off. It's dumb, it's bad, it's on repeat, and it's nothing good for us, okay? I used to, you know, infiltrate my mind. The first thing in the morning was news. News, 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 news. How dumb is that? I haven't watched the news for 2 years. Now, I know what's happening in the world because I got Twitter. Andy Stanley said, we don't drift in good directions. We discipline and prioritize ourselves in that direction. Here's the truth. Prayer should be our first language, not our foreign language. It should be the first thing we do, not the last thing we do. Okay? When we've tried everything else we can do, then we need prayer. No, prayer should be it. Listen, Jesus said this in Luke chapter 18, verse 1. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should. Everyone say should. Now, in the King James, if I was getting old school, it says ought. But should and ought is the same word. And it says should always pray and not give up. So many times in life, we get sidetracked, we get slapped upside the head, kicked in the chest, circumstances knocks us down, and we are so prone to give up. But Jesus said if we pray, giving up won't happen. So you cannot persevere in this life without prayer. Prayer enables you and empowers you not to throw in the towel. Listen, there are people that will throw in the towel and quit God just because they got their tire flat. God, what are you doing to me? Oh, it's just a tire flat. You ran over a nail, and you know, and that happens. God's not doing anything. The devil's not trying to make your life worse because you got a flat tire. Okay? But we give up so easily and we throw in the towel so easily. That word should or ought means to be under obligation. We are bound. It is necessary. So Jesus says it is necessary for every one of us to pray and not give up. C.S. Lewis says, I pray because I can't help myself. He says, I pray because I'm helpless. I pray because the need flows out of me all the time, waking and sleeping. It doesn't change God, but prayer changes me. Prayer changes me. I think we need to recover this ancient Christian practice that so many of us Christians have neglected because it's a difficult thing to do. It's actually easier to go to church than to actually pray. It's actually easier to give than to pray. It's sometimes easier to serve than to pray. And we think all those other things makes up for that. And this is what fuels everything else. Prayer should be what backs up this service. Prayer should be backs up what the worship people sing. Prayer should be back up in the kids' ministries. Prayers should back up everything. And that's why prayer is a priority in this church. That's why we pray every Saturday at 9 a.m. Yes, we got to get out of bed early. Yes, you got to drive over here. But it's a great hour well spent touching heaven, having FaceTime with God, and praying for you. Works out pretty good, doesn't it, right? All right, here we go. Here's what we need to realize. We're commanded to pray because Paul said pray always with all prayer. But here's the result of the power of prayer, because prayer does draw us closer to God, number one. Prayer also brings answers. You can pray and get an answer from God. My grandmother's biggest question to us when we would throw out our problems to her, did you pray about it? Well, no, Grandma, that's what you're supposed to do because you're grandma, and grandmas pray. Yeah. I'll pray, but you need to pray. And she would make us, come on, we're going to prayer right now. She'd make us get down on our knees, and she would pray. And she would make us pray and until we got an answer from God. Okay? So it brings answers. Prayer has the power to create. Prayer has the power to bring blessing on others' people. When instead of complaining about somebody, whining about somebody, how about you pray for them? Man, and it will bless them, but not only will it bless them, but it will bless you. That's how powerful prayer is. And our most sincere prayer should always be this. First prayer, Lord, teach us to pray. The disciples were with him how long? They sat with him when he prayed. They watched him pray for people. They listened to his teachings. And yet they still would say, Jesus, teach us how to pray. And Jesus looked at them and said, okay, here's what I want you to do. When you pray, say, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Don't be afraid to pray the Lord's Prayer. That's what he said. If you want to learn how to pray, pray this prayer because it is powerful. So prayer is a learned thing. It just doesn't magically come to you. It's a learned thing. FaceTime has to be learned. I remember when my mom and dad got their iPhone, and man, they just didn't have a clue. Okay? So I remember my kids showing them how to turn it on, how to download an app, how to use email, how to text. okay? And then the fun thing was watching them learn how to FaceTime. Now I can't get the phones away from my parents. They're worse than my kids. And now they play all these games and everything, you know what I mean? But teaching them to FaceTime was the funnest thing, so now they like to FaceTime the grandkids because they want to see them. And my kids are like, why can't Grandma and Grandpa just text us? I said, because Grandma and Grandpa want to see your face. You know, that means they got to stop playing their video games, stop watching YouTube, stop watching Netflix, and FaceTime with Grandma and Grandpa. But FaceTime and prayer is a learned thing. Philip Yancey said it like this: if prayer stands as the place where God and human beings meet, then I must learn about prayer. I must learn how to pray. I must learn how to have FaceTime with God. You learn how to pray by praying the prayers. Find you a prayer book. Pray those prayers. Follow my prayer liturgy. Pray those prayers. Go into the Old Testament and pray some of those prayers and psalms. It's amazing what it will do to your prayer life when you're praying even the scripture. You'll meditate on the scripture while you're praying the scripture. Pray with other people. Listen to what other people are saying when they pray. And what about reading about prayer? This will all help enhance your FaceTime with God every day. So why should we have FaceTime daily with God? Because it's a necessity and it must happen. So I'm going to give you four reasons why you and I must FaceTime with God every day. You ready? Number one, in order to keep from fainting. There are circumstances and situations that we face as people, not just believers, that can be overwhelming, that can sometimes kick the life out of us and make our heads spin and make us really to just want to just faint, okay? And I'm not talking about the actual fainting, the physical condition, the temporary loss of consciousness or oxygen to your brain or the blood to your brain. I am actually talking about a spiritual condition that is posing a constant danger to every one of us every day unless we pray. We'll want to give up on our marriage real quick, okay? I saw a meme the other day. It was pretty funny. Because sometimes our kids drive us crazy, right? No, just me? I saw this meme the other day on Instagram, and it was so funny. I didn't save it because my wife would get mad if I saved it. But it was this one kid asking his parents, he has siblings, and he says, am I your favorite? And the dad spoke up and said, so no, we don't like any of you. That was too funny. I can't believe he just said that. Did he just say that? Oh, so listen, it'll make you want to just give up so easily, and you'll faint because these circumstances in this life knocks us out. Man, financially, we've been hit with a financial thing the last 2 weeks than I've had been hit in years, all at one time. You ready for this? My vehicle breaks down. Trisha's vehicle breaks down. This is all in 1 week. My son Christian's car. Brakes and motors went out, okay? We get hit with a property tax bill that they raised our property taxes $3,700 more a year. And it has to be paid by tomorrow. Think about this for a second. This is all within a week, okay? And there was something else that we had to, our mower, our John Deere riding mower broke down. This is all in the same week. And that's $500. Isn't that crazy? And my wife is like, she's about to lose her mind. And she says, why aren't you reacting to this? And I said, because what good is that going to do? Is that going to help the situation if I go, You know, if I lose? No. I said, I'm going to pray. And God's going to work this stuff out. So you're not worried, no. You're not fretting, no. She's a type A and she's analytical. That's how her mind works. She goes, after all these years, I still don't understand you sometimes. It's not that I don't care, but here's what I did. I wrote all those down and said, God, You said for me to cast all my cares upon you. I refuse to let broken down vehicles, broken down tractor, tax bill to knock me out. Heck no, that ain't going to happen. So God, I need you to answer these prayer requests for me. I bring this thing to you. I bring this to you. I bring this to you. And that's what I did. And then I said, okay, I'm done. God, it's now your problem, not mine. I prayed. I'm not fainting. I'm fine. I slept like a baby last night. No worries, no stress on my mind. Even though it would overwhelm many of you if you got hit with that in 1 week's time. God's got it. Everyone say, God's got it. That word faint means to be weak, to fail in heart, to be weary, to toil, to tire, to be sickened. Listen, we live in this time where we have to pray or we're going to faint very easily because we are dealing with all these pressures, all these wearinesses, all these strife, problems, job, family, money. It hits us every day on a weekly basis. It's even enough to make the strongest of people weary. Yet I don't know how we can deal with it unless we have FaceTime with God. Unless we become people who pray. Galatians 6, 9, let us not become weary in doing good. What's the doing good? Praying. See, praying is what we do in God, our time. The answer comes in God's time. Because here's what Paul says. Become weary in doing good at the proper time. We will reap a harvest if we do not give up. We will get our answer if we don't give up. So I want to challenge you. You have to pray. You have to have FaceTime with God so that you don't faint. All right? Number two, we do this in order to overcome Satan. He's out there. The Bible says he's like a roaring lion, but he attacks us. He also attacks our prayers, okay? Our prayers will bring us personal victory over the wiles of the devil, over his tactics and what he does. Look what Jesus said. Simon had a problem with the devil. He was doing some things to him, but look what Jesus said. Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift all of you as wheat, but I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. So you have Jesus telling Simon, hey, Satan's after you. He's wanting to destroy you. He's wanting to take you out, all of you. But here's what I'm doing. I'm praying for you. Because when I pray for you, when prayer comes into the picture, there's a supernatural strength that comes in your life, that will come into your marriage, that will come into your family, that will come into your job, into your finances, and strengthen you. And won't let that happen. Man, when we're dealing with things with our families, we should just go directly to praying. So he says that I'm going to pray for you. If prayer can help overcome anything that the devil brings in your life. Number three, and this is a tough one. This is one of the reasons why we pray too, because in order to maintain a forgiving heart, do people tick you off or what? Right? I mean, just how many of you have road rage? No, don't raise your hand. No, don't raise your hand. People are going to make you mad. People are going to be foolish, and they're going to say stupid things, okay? You have to have prayer in your life in order to maintain forgiveness to people that hurt you or do something stupid. We pray because, listen, I'm pretty sure that punching someone is frowned upon in our society. Okay? So instead of punching somebody, you're like, well, I want to throat punch them. You know, pray. Prayer will help you not punch somebody. Prayer will help you be forgiving of somebody. We are challenged in this area because forgiveness is not a feeling. Forgiveness is a decision. It's a choice that you have to make, but you don't have to do it by yourself. God empowers you, enables you, and comes alongside of you to help you because everything in you doesn't want to forgive. Everything in us wants to continue to harbor bitterness and unforgiveness and keep the reasons why. And our reasons are legit. Forgiveness never excuses the pain of what took place. But you need to ask God to help you to forgive. Because when you hold bitterness and unforgiveness against somebody or some people, here's what takes place. It doesn't hurt them. It injures you. It does something on the inside of you. And so you need to say, God, I need your help. I'm having trouble forgiving. God, they didn't even say I'm sorry. Most of the time they won't. But we still have to be people who forgive. And we cannot do that without prayer. I'm telling you, you can't do it on your own, even if it's your personality. I've got an easygoing personality. I'm very quick to forgive in my personality. But I do need God to help me because there's sometimes in some situations where I found myself still holding some things. Okay? So we ask God to help us. Matthew 6:14. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive you your sins. Through sin, or through forgiveness, we are able to live a peaceful life. Through prayer, we're able to forgive. Prayer, forgiveness, peace. Do you see how it works? Do you see how it goes together? You can't have him without that. Look what Luke 17 says. So watch yourselves. If your brother or sister sins against you, rebuke them. If they repent, forgive them. Even if they sin against you 7 times a day and 7 times come back to you saying, I repent, you must forgive them. And then Mark 11 says it like this. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, are you holding anything against anyone this morning? Because Jesus then says, forgive them so that your Father in heaven may forgive you of your sins. That's a good reason to have FaceTime with God because the people you're going to have to deal with during the day. Some of you that are involved in customer service, man, you need the extra prayer. I'm telling those of you involved in human resources, you need the extra prayer, okay? Because you're going to deal with people all day. Those of you who serve in a hospitable capacity, job, hotel, restaurant, you need to keep a prayerful spirit. Number 4, I need to pray and I need to have FaceTime with God because I need to deliver my anxieties to God. Anybody here this morning have some anxieties? Some stuff you're dealing with? Philippians 4:6-7 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And then the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Think great thing about God. He has free, unlimited, anytime minutes. Are you aware of that? So, you know, the data plan for God is limitless. Okay? So whatever you're dealing with, when you're dealing with, take it to him. You have 2 options. You can panic or pray. You can worry or worship. It is our choice. I love the old hymn, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. Remember that song? Anybody remember that song? Yeah, and in the line it says, oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry, what? Everything to God in prayer. When you and I pray, we can deliver our anxieties, our stresses, our burdens that we're dealing with, our heavy loads. We can just take it to him. And you just say, God, I am giving it to you. here's what Peter said in 1 Peter 5:7. He said, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. The word cast is a fishing term. I love to fish. I love to bass fish, walleye fish. I go to grouper fishing in January in Florida. I love to fish. And, you know, but for bass or walleye or catfish, you cast and you just wait. Okay? But for grouper, you just let your net, you let your pull down, and it goes all the way down because of a weight. But he's talking about casting nets. Okay? So he's saying, take everything that's in your net right now and cast it to God. Give him the vehicle problem. Give him the communication problem with your spouse. Give him the rebellion of your teenagers. Give him the fact that you just lost your job and you're laid off. Give him the bills and cast it all on him, because here's why. He cares for you. We're not meant, none of us are meant to carry stress or anxiety or worry. God did not design us to carry those things, but yet why do we carry them? Some of us carry those things like a badge of honor. Like, look at me, I'm really going through it. Pray for me. We've been carrying things we don't have to. He is our Lord. He is our Savior. What are you dealing with right now? Throw it at him. That's what he said. Throw it at me. And you got to be specific. The word anxiety means a state of uneasiness about future uncertainties. The word worry means to strangle or choke, suffocate. It's also used like, how many dog lovers here? We got two of them in our house, yeah. And my wife will go and buy these special bones as a special treat for the dogs, and they just go crazy. And they'll grab a hold of it and they'll worry on it. We say chew on it, gnaw on it, but that's actually the word worry. And I dare you, go over and I'll mess with them. We have a Labradoodle that's about 9 feet tall. And we have a little Yorkie, okay, that's like the boss, and it's like 3 inches high, you know. And I'll go and I'll try to grab that bone from them. And all of a sudden they'll look at me and they'll go, they're like, don't take our bone, we're worrying on it. But there's people like that. You try to help them, they want to worry. They that's their badge of honor. No, you're not designed. Your body physically cannot handle anxiety, stress, and worry. It's the number one cause of sickness and disease in our world. It all points back to something that was stressful in our life. Give it to him. When you are face to face with God, say, God, here it is. I know he knows what I'm thinking. I know he knows what's on my heart. But I've got to tell him, God, I've got a tax bill I'm going to fight it, but you got to take care of it. I got to get this vehicle fixed. I got all this going on. I'm giving it to you, God. And then you leave it alone. And you're like, it's not on me anymore. It's not on my chest anymore. It's God. It's all on you. You go, God. I'm going to sleep. I am going to rest. Remember this. The shadow of a dog never bit anybody. That's profound, isn't it? Listen. FaceTime with God is simple, sometimes mysterious, but the impact it can make in your life is extraordinary. I have been through, and you've heard me talk about this, I've been through the toughest time in the last 2 years of my life personally. Okay? I'm just being open with you and honest with you. It's been the toughest of my entire Christian life, my entire life, the last 2 years. And dealing with some of the things that I've dealt with, I wondered, how did I not lose my mind? How am I not going crazy, right? How am I not having a breakdown? Because because it happens to everybody. Listen, it really does. And it dawned on me because whether I felt like it or not, Nicole, I kept my time with God every morning. And I can tell you this, there was mornings I was mad at him. There was mornings I was about as spiritual as an ant. I did not want to pray. I didn't want to spend time with God. And I can tell you there was times I just went through my prayer thing, just praying it. But the more when I did it, it got in you. It got in me. It was doing a work that at some moments I didn't feel like it. And it dawned on me one day that the reason why I haven't lost my mind, lost my marriage, lost my family, just went crazy or had a breakdown was because there was a strength that came from the Holy Spirit of time spent with God. I want to challenge you today. So this is my challenge for you this morning, first service. Will you commit every day to spend face time with God? Will you make that commitment? And if you're here today and you're like, well, Rob, I'm not even a committed, I'm not even really following Christ right now. I want to give you an opportunity right now. And I'm going to, first and foremost, I'm going to pray for you for that. And then we're going to do a second prayer here shortly. So with every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're here today and you're saying, Rob, I hear what you're saying. I want to develop a FaceTime with God. I want to follow him. I want to serve him. And I want to walk with him. And I need to make my comeback. I need to make a fresh start today. If that's you, just simply raise your hand for me. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. Amen. While your heads are bowed, Father, I just pray right now for every hand that went up. I thank you, Lord, that we make a commitment today to you to have FaceTime with you every morning, every day, God, so that we can be strengthened and we will cast all our anxieties and fears and stresses on you. So, God, I just ask you, Lord, you said if we would confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that you raised Christ from the dead, we'd be saved. And we believe that scripture and we confess with our mouth and make you the Lord of our lives. And we ask you this in Jesus' name. And everyone say amen. Come on, can you put your hands together today for what the Lord has done so far?